Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, September the 16th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, a new charity has been launched to help bereaved children following the death of a man from Deal, and 20,000 handmade poppies have been unveiled at the historic dockyard in Chatham. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A Kent mum says she's received death threats and installed a panic alarm in her house after comments she made about US activist Charlie Kirk. Charlotte Hayes posted on TikTok after he was shot and killed while holding a debate at a university in Utah. Now, she's admitted her language was inflammatory, but insists her words have been misconstrued. The 25-year-old has also lost her stall at Folkestone's Petticoat Lane Emporium, with bosses there saying they don't tolerate incitement to violence of any kind. This is what Charlotte's had to say in response.
Since I posted the TikTok video, I've had some people who I suppose reasonably disagree with me or disagree with my sentiment. But mostly, it's been endless vitriol, threats of violence, of rape, murder, stalking, harassment, acid attacks, some real detailed accounts of how I'm going to be violated, raped and murdered, like nothing I've ever seen before. I've had heated conversations online. I've spoke a lot about politics. I don't have a political account. I don't align myself with any specific ideologies, but I've certainly been in a little hot water for my opinion before. I've never experienced anything like this. This is extreme. The reaction was completely unexpected. I didn't really realise how much of a cult personality this guy maintained. I do agree with the thing I said being inflammatory. The closing statement especially, but it was satirical hyperbole. It was a sentiment that mirrors something like eat the rich without actually cannibalizing people. I do think that I've had an insane overreaction. I think my comments were misconstrued. It seems to be spun that I believe that we should murder anyone who is right-wing adjacent, right-wing leaning politically, which absolutely wasn't my sentiment. It was essentially to deplatform people with what I believe to be dangerous and violent ideologies. It wasn't a call to action for people to leave the house and be violent towards others, especially not civilians. But yeah, I lost my stall. It took me a few weeks setting it up. I had friends involved. I spent a lot of money on it, maybe £700 plus my deposit, like the month's rent I paid for, and I've not received any of that back. I still don't even have my stock. It was dumped. I'm not sure how it was handled. Some of the items were fragile and they were just all thrown into a trolley. I've lost a lot of money doing this. I think I sold like two items, which I also haven't received the payment for. As far as unfair treatment, I mean, like, at least legally it's unlawful. Of course, I'm going to believe it's unfair. I'm sure a lot of people would believe that the statements I made deserve a consequence grander than I received. I just think it's hypocrisy from people who have pioneered politically for freedom of speech for years now. I said something online and the response was the way it was and stayed online. Regardless of how angry people had gotten, I think to say anything in response to me speaking freely would be fair. But this isn't just words. These are people taking actions. These are people threatening assault, violence, threatening the staff members of the marketplace I worked at, threatening the marketplace itself. I think that's absolutely unfair. I have been an online creator for years. I can take insults about my appearance and my intellect. I can have discussions, I can have debates, I can have people vehemently dislike me. I think that is a completely fair stance to take. But I do think the real life consequences are incredibly disproportionate.
Kent Police confirmed it received allegations regarding a social media post. A spokesperson added, investigators examined the content and concluded no offences were committed. The person who posted the video was visited by officers and received words of advice. They subsequently deleted the post.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been arrested on suspicion of murder following the death of a woman in Margate. Police were called to a property on Dane Valley Road on Saturday morning. The victim in her 30s was pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators say a man from the local area has been detained and released on bail. A man in his 70s has died more than a month after being involved in a two-car crash in Maidstone. He was a passenger in one of the vehicles and was flown to hospital after it happened on London Road on June 1st. One of the drivers has been arrested on suspicion of careless driving offences and remains on bail. A Kent man's been charged with a public order offence following protests in London over the weekend. 24 people were arrested and 26 police officers injured during the Unite the Kingdom march on Saturday. 36-year-old Aaron Wren from Kingsway Gardens in Rochester is due in court later this month. A teenager's been arrested after a car crashed into a wall in Sittingbourne. Witnesses say it happened on Saturday afternoon and the young driver left the scene in Staple Close before police arrived. A 19-year-old man is facing a number of charges, including careless driving and driving while unfit. He's been released on bail. Now, a mum who lost her partner in a building site accident in Ramsgate has launched a new charity to help bereaved children. 36-year-old David Archer from Deal died after falling down a manhole 2 years ago. Rachel says it was a really difficult time for her two children, who were 5 and 9 when it happened. She works as an occupational therapist and has launched the Ogger Foundation, which runs activity sessions for children experiencing loss. Lucy's been chatting to Rachel about the impact David's death has had on the family.
It was tragic, traumatic. It's affected us all so much and still does now. They do say that grief is part of love for a person, from when I've been reading up about grief and trying to sort of deal with grief myself. But yeah, it's had a massive ripple effect on all of us. And us as a family have come together and we are stronger than ever now. We're very much, we talk together every day. We let each other know how we're sort of feeling, and we're all sort of there to support each other. We have sort of little family gatherings where we're together quite a bit. So yeah, you know, when one's feeling low, there's always somebody else there to support everyone, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely to have that support, because your children were quite young when it happened, weren't they?
Yeah, Poppy had just turned 5 on the 10th of November, which was 4 days before we lost David, and Jack was 9.
What was it like for you as a mum? Kind of, obviously, you're dealing with all that grief yourself, and then you're also trying to support your children at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard, but when I look at both of them, they are my drive, and I see David so much in the children. You know, Jack's got his little character and his little sort of funniness as well. Poppy's got his looks and she's got his eyes, and yeah, just both of those children, I just wake up every day, and when I do turn over and I look at the children, you know, it brings me happiness that I've got both of them, and I feel very grateful that me and David had 2 beautiful children together.
So talk me through the idea of setting up the charity.
From my background of working in mental health for many years and knowing about services and what services are available in Kent, and also further afield, I just thought that, you know, I wanted something for the children. Mental health and wellbeing is a big thing for me from working in that sector, but also then thinking about the children, but also what goes on, what you see in the media every day, what you see going on in everyday to day life with children. I just wanted something for the children. And you know, I went and spoke to a friend of mine, which is called Luke Shaw, and Tracy Carr. Tracy runs a Talk It Out mental health group in Deal, and Luke runs United Families UK. And I had a coffee with them both and spoke to them about a group or a support group. And they said there is no sort of support groups which are local. Everything's kind of done online and Zoom. And that's the way that it's kind of gone since COVID. For me personally, I like face to face. Doing things over the phone, it's a struggle, isn't it? Because you don't know who you're talking to, or you can't get a feel for that person. And I didn't want Jack and Poppy to do anything online. And then when I researched as well, it said about children, it's all through activity and play. My background's not children, but obviously being a mum, my instinct was that yes, let's go ahead with a group. And we spoke to, I spoke with Luke, and Luke's already got an establishment in Deal, an office, and it's that Bitsanga Sports and Social Club. So then linking in with them, they said about, why don't you try running a group? And then the idea come along from friends and family. Everybody got together. So the word brave come from one of my friends called Kelly. She broke that down to what Brave stands for, and then the Ogger Foundation come out, which was his nickname was Ogger, from when he played football and he used to hog the ball, and sort of they cut that down to then Ogger, and he had that nickname for his whole life. So yeah, it all come together through friends and family. Everybody wanted to have input, and then yeah, it's just. It's working. It's doing well.
Kent Online News.
A key member of Thanet's County Line's drug operation has been sent to prison. Joel Lober was suspected of being involved with the supply of Class A drugs across the Margate area. Officers searched his property and found cocaine, heroin and cash. The 27-year-old from Westbrook Road has been locked up for more than 5 years. A man has been found guilty of encouraging a drink driver who then lost control of a van and killed a pedestrian in Chatham. David Francois was charged following the fatal collision that happened on Luton Road in November 2021. The 49-year-old from Spalding in Lincolnshire had been a passenger in the vehicle that was being driven by his cousin. They're both due to be sentenced in December. A court heard how a shoplifter spat and lunged at a security guard after stealing trainers from the Ashford designer outlet. Jamie Santa was arrested after it happened at the Nike store in June. He also stole designer sunglasses from a store at the shopping centre. The 42-year-old from St Stephen's Walk in Ashford has been ordered to pay compensation and attend drug rehab sessions. Now, more than 20,000 handmade poppies have been unveiled at the historic dockyard in Chatham as part of a project marking 80 years since the end of the Second World War. The original plan was to have 11,000 in memory of all those who lost their lives aboard Royal Navy destroyers that were sunk during the conflict. The installation is by the National Destroyer Memorial next to HMS Cavalier. Council leader Vince Maple has been to see it.
This has been a phenomenal community project. The dockyard working with many other different organisations and individuals who have taken their time to create poppies to place here. We were looking at originally at 11,000. The community have done phenomenal work and we've now got over 20,000, which is remarkable. I've been chatting to some residents today, some people have taken part, and what's been really interesting for me, some people have produced lots of poppies, but some have produced a very specific number. So for example, one resident who I was speaking to, her dad served in the Royal Navy for 22 years, so she produced 22 poppies. So you can see there lots of individual stories and experiences that have fed into this project. I'm incredibly proud of the work that's happened here, and I pay tribute to everyone who's played their part in making sure that the Threads of Remembrance here at the Dockyard is such a poignant exhibition for everyone to take on board.
Jane and Stella Barnes made some of the poppies.
We heard that they were looking for volunteers from the community to make up to 11,000 poppies for this Threads of Remembrance event. We are knitters. We are also members of Medway and Maidstone Sir Optimist Group and sometimes get involved in knitting projects with them to improve lives of women and children and things like this. So we decided to get involved and we actually made 136 poppies, but there was a significance to that, and I'll let my sister explain.
Our grandfather, maternal grandfather, was born in 1889. Until present day now would be 136, and he served in the First World War and the Second World War with the Royal Navy.
So, and he was actually based here in Chatham, 1942 in Chatham. So the fact of, he could have been somewhere around here, we felt it was really nice to be part of that. So we not only made the poppies, but then we saw they were looking for volunteers to actually fix them to the netting, ready to be put up here. So last week we came along and we joined other volunteers and so we were putting together. But obviously where they'd asked for 11,000, they in fact ended up with nearly 20,000, so there was a lot of poppies to be putting on the netting. But it was lovely to join with the other volunteers and be part of that, and then today to come and see it actually put up on HMS Cavalier, having such an impact and for the significance of it.
Kent Online News.
The King and Queen will be among senior royals of the Duchess of Kent's funeral at Westminster Cathedral later. Catherine passed away at the age of 92 earlier this month. She presented the winners' trophies at Wimbledon and taught music at a primary school in Hull, where she was known as Mrs. Kent. She also co-founded the music charity Future Talent with Nick Robinson.
She had a great sense of humour. And so by being able to just be herself away from the public eye and just whoever she's talking to or dealing with, whether they're young or old, she could just be herself and have a laugh, have a joke, and just be a natural person. She thrived on that.
A minute's applause has been held in memory of a mum of three from Whitstable who died from bowel cancer just months after symptoms first appeared. Alana Grant was a teaching assistant at Swalecliff Community Primary and a member of the hospitality team at Whitstable Town. The 44-year-old has been described by her husband as the kindest, most beautiful human. It's been reported the first flight taking asylum seekers who've arrived in Kent back to France has been delayed after a legal challenge. A group of people were due to travel yesterday as part of the One In, One Out deal for those who've crossed the channel in small boats. More than 30,000 men, women and children have made the journey so far this year. The Sitting Board and Sheppey MP has defended receiving a donation from a pro-housing development group following political backlash. Kevin McKenna says the payment of £2,800 from Homes Britain was made to help him and other Labour MPs with communications. A local Conservative councillor says the pro-housing stance goes against the wishes and interests of residents. A cafe in Maidstone has been given just a one-star hygiene rating after inspectors found flies on food and rat droppings on the floor. Leah's Bistro on the High Street was downgraded following a visit at the end of June. The cafe's been approached for a response.
Kent Online News.
A huge fundraising campaign's been launched to protect more than 200 species that conservationists say are at risk in Kent. It's hoped the Nature Restoration Fund will be able to restore and expand wild habitats, improve rivers and lakes, and reverse species decline. Kent Wildlife Trust is hoping to raise £3 million to carry out work between now and the end of the decade. Paul Hadaway from Kent Wildlife Trust has been speaking to Nicola.
I think that we have to look at it in terms of the threat we're facing at the moment, both from habitat loss, from fragmentation, from development, from climate change, from poor political decisions and decision-making. But cumulatively, no matter how much good work we do and good activity we do and all of the work that we do for nature and for wildlife, still leaves this huge challenge that we face in order to really realise the type of ambition we need to overcome both the climate and nature crisis.
And you've revealed exactly how many species you fear could be at risk as well. And that number's pretty huge too, isn't it?
It is. I mean, when you think about 200 species facing potential extinction in Kent alone, you know, you start to extrapolate that up across the country and internationally, and you begin to get a sense of the sort of crisis we're facing.
So can you give us a bit of an idea as to how this amount of money would be spent if you were able to collect as much as £3 million? What would it be used for?
I think it's important to understand the context, again, that we're operating in. So first of all, we're a charity, and all charities are under enormous financial pressure at the moment. You then balance that against the type of challenge we've spoken about in terms of risks to our habitat, our wildlife, those 200 species. We are in this kind of perfect storm at the moment of needing to find ways to finance the restoration of nature that just seems to have dropped off the government radar, where there is so much big money going into the destruction of nature that we need to kind of push up against. So when you look at what we do as an organisation, things like buying areas of land, we've recently purchased a new area of land down in Lamberhurst, Hoathly Farm. You know, that is the sort of appeal that people understand the immediate threat of and can get behind and can work with. More pressing than that is how we do our day-to-day business, how we begin to slowly bring those 200 species back from the brink, how we introduce new species into areas, how we begin to more broadly protect our water, our air, all the additional benefits that go from well-managed landscapes and countryside. And to do that, we need good people, we need good projects, we need all the tools at our disposal to do that. And those are the things that this appeal will help drive and fund over the next 5 years to the end of the decade, when we hope to really achieve our 30% target for land in Kent being in good unconditioned for nature and wildlife.
Obviously, we are in a cost of living crisis, Paul, and I'm sure you're very well aware of that. For people who perhaps can only donate a small amount but also want to help themselves, is there anything else that they can do to help in this nature crisis at the moment?
There's a whole suite of things people can do, and it's always been the case that those little actions add up cumulatively to a much bigger impact. And that's things from wildlife gardening to, doing things with window boxes to your local green space to telling us about animals and plants that you see when you're out walking in the countryside. So we have just launched the Wilder Kent app, which people can find in the App Store. If you take that and start looking at that, that actually gives you an opportunity to record this kind of information and to create a diary of the actions that you're taking that we can then see the cumulative impact of. Lots out there. Talk to us, talk to our other wildlife charities, but find out what you can do.
And how are you keeping this high on the agenda with those who are perhaps up at Westminster making the big decisions, making them aware of the crisis that we're facing, and making sure that the political decisions don't go against you and the work that you're trying to do?
Yeah, and that's the massive challenge. We are part of a Federation of Wildlife Trusts. There's 46 of us nationally speaking with one voice on a lot of these topics and subjects. So, we in the Southeast in particular, partly because of our proximity to Westminster, but partly because of the challenges we're facing, are very vocal in our advocacy within Parliament and with our local politicians. It's an uphill struggle. There's no doubt about that. The growth agenda at the moment is perhaps missing some of the opportunities around green growth that really need to be advocated for. But you only have to look at, what we've done at the Swanscombe Peninsula, where we fought against London Resort and got that site declared a SSSI. We're fighting similar battles in Sandwich and Pegwell Bay with National Grid around their SeaLink connector. These are things we do on a daily basis, and we have the people and the skills in the organisation to do that. But absolutely, advocacy for us as individuals, as members of the trust, and for us as a body, that's really, really important.
People living near a building site in Margate say their homes have been left unsellable and it's making their lives a misery. Work's been taking place to prepare land for the Hartsdown Gardens development, which will eventually have 450 homes. Neighbours say dust coming from the site is causing problems, with some saying they haven't been able to sit in their gardens. Developers say work was approved by the council and could only be carried out during the summer months. They add that all work was done in line with a construction environment management plan. £150 in compensation was offered. The council and environment agency declined to comment. Plans for 90 homes in a village near Sittingbourne have been given the go-ahead despite fears local schools won't be able to cope with increased pupil numbers. A developer's been told they can build on land off Church Lane in Ewington, with 40% of the properties being affordable. More than 100 objection letters were sent to Swale Council, but the scheme was approved by 8-6. Plans for a massive solar farm on land near Sittingbourne have been given the go-ahead by council bosses. Panels are due to be installed on a 160-acre site at Pittstock Farm in Rodmersham. The company behind the scheme says it'll make a valuable contribution to renewable energy targets. The head of a primary school near Leybourne says she's thrilled after they were rated outstanding in all areas. Inspectors praised the achievements of pupils at Valley and Victor Primary School in Leybourne Chase and were impressed with the curriculum. The school was rated good at its previous inspection in February last year. And two First World War memorial plaques that were stolen from a churchyard in Chatham have now been returned. They were also damaged during the theft from Christchurch in Luton in May, but have now been fully restored. They were presented back to the church and unveiled to the local community earlier this month. A total of 8 people have been arrested in relation to the thefts.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and we now know who Kent teams will be playing in the third qualifying round of the FA Cup. Faversham will face Ebbsfleet United after beating Maidenhead United at the weekend. Whitstable Town will have another home tie if they beat Chichester in a replay. The winners will take on Hungerford Town. Another Kent derby sees Chatham Town host Deal Town. Tunbridge Angels also face a replay. A win for them would see them travel to Cray Valley next. And Folkestone will travel to the winners of Westfield versus Horsham. Ties are due to be played on Saturday, September 27th. To cricket, and Kent will be hoping for play on day two of their penultimate county championship match of the season. No action was possible against Leicestershire yesterday because of bad weather. The hosts are top of League Two, while Kent are bottom of the table. Play is due to get underway at 10:30. To tennis, and Emma Raducanu is due in action at the Korean Open later. The British number one from Orpington is taking on Jacqueline Christian from Romania. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.